Fox Sports Radio 94, WIP, Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. Coming up, 8:30, Mock Draft Mania. An hour from now, a Clearwater check-in. And we'll keep debating whether or not these teams should listen to us and make big moves based on what we as fans say. I think it's absolutely crazy. Unless, of course, it's Elliot Shore Parks and I talking Eagles. Then these teams should listen. He joins us right now. Elliot, how you doing tonight?
You know, everybody told us we ran Carson out of town. Maybe Lurie was listening. Who knows?
You know what? I mean, at some point, the biggest football guys in town need to have a say. So that is only fair. Elliot, we got a lot to talk about here. As the new league year starts up next week, we have Birds Town Hall on Monday, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But what do you make of the moves so far that Howie's making? It seems like Howie Roseman is going to get this thing and this cap situation under control, maybe a lot easier than the perception was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, if we would have talked 2 weeks ago, and we did talk 2 weeks ago, I don't think either of us expected the Eagles to try to compete this season. We were talking about them tearing it down, you know, going all in on a rebuild, trading guys like Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, and who knows, maybe that will still happen. But to me, the biggest takeaway of the last week and a half or so is they're going to try to win in 2021, restructuring Darius Slay, bringing back Jason Kelce, and, you know, restructuring his deal to give him an incentive to go back. So I think that, you know, for as much talk as the teardown was, I do think you're going to see them try to compete in 2021, and I think they have a chance to. The NFC is not very good. We saw that last year. And I think that if Jalen Hurts can be the quarterback or even just slightly better than he was last year, they have a legitimate chance to win, and I think the Eagles are going to try to take advantage of that.
Elliot, do you think the strategy here, which, you know, if you look at some of what they've done, Darius Slay was the one that really kind of hit home for me. I mean, they're moving money from this year to future years. Do you think that is a wise strategy? Because what I'm hearing from some fans is, okay, so they're doing this, but it's just going to take away what cap room they would have in futures. Do you see a problem with how Howie's trying to fix this?
So I love talking about the salary cap. I love following it. I love writing about it. But what we also find every year is, ultimately, it never really matters. I mean, we can talk about the strategy of pushing the money back, whether it's worth it, whether it's not worth it. But each year, until there was a global pandemic and Carson Wentz regressed to the point where they had to bench him, the salary cap didn't matter. They always found room. They always restructured deals. And they've always done it the same way. So this idea of pushing money back is nothing new. They've done it for a long time. The players are a little older now, but they can just keep pushing the money back. So I understand on a certain level why there's concern about it, but the Eagles always have salary cap space. The only thing that changed that was COVID dropping the salary cap about $30 million less than expected, and Carson Wentz forcing his way out of town. If those two things don't happen, we're talking about the Eagles having, you know, maybe $30 million in salary cap space.
All right, Elliot, the big story this week, other than the moves we're watching and waiting for in the beginning of the new league year next week, is Jeffrey Lurie and all the stories that have been out this week. And really, it just kind of adds to what has been out there more, I'd say, the last 5 years or so, which is his power, his opinion on football matters seems to hold a higher regard now. Maybe it always did. We're just hearing about it more now, whether it's, you know, changes to the coaching staff, or it is wanting this player, not wanting that player, and maybe the idea of pushing Jalen Hurts to be the guy this year before they even go through free agency or the draft. Do you think this is a problem? Because it is something that I didn't remember early in Jeff's tenure, at least being a story, and now it's a big one.
Yeah, I think Jeffrey Lurie has always been involved. I even saw, you know, our old colleague Mark Eckel tweet out, who's covered the team since before Jeffrey Lurie was here, tweet out that, you know, Lurie's always been involved. So I don't think this is anything new. I do think maybe he's slightly more involved since the Super Bowl, or I should say since Chip Kelly left. But during that span, they won the Super Bowl. So I just don't see the problem with it. I understand on a macro level, if you were to say to me, you know, an owner is making football decisions, I would say, yeah, that's not the best way to go about things. That's not how you want to have your franchise run. But you can't always look at things on a macro level. When you look at the Eagles specifically, they've been successful with Jeffrey Lurie as their owner. And, you know, maybe he's changed a little bit, but the results speak for themselves, and they are a winning franchise under Lurie. He knows how to run a franchise. So I don't have a ton of concern with him being, you know, ultra-involved in these decisions.
So, Elliot, we follow this stuff. You write about it, talk about it. I talk about it every day. We follow all of these things that happen. And every time there's a story or a leak before free agency or the draft, my first thought is always like, all right, who is gaining something from this? So let's go back to the story the other day. Chris Mortensen on ESPN says that Lurie has basically told his guys, let's go with Jalen Hurts. Let's build around him. Let's not have legitimate competition. Let's give Jalen a chance to be the quarterback that they obviously drafted him thinking he could be, which, okay, whether we agree or not, that's fine. But who gains from that? Because my first thought was, all right, if the Eagles really weren't going to take a quarterback, wouldn't it behoove them to at least leave that out there as a possibility so the draft may fall differently around? Like, do you think the Eagles gain at all by this story being out there? Because I can't figure out how they do.
I don't think they do. The only people that gain from this story being out there is people that don't want Jalen Hurts to be the starter. Because, and I'm not saying this was Howie Roseman whatsoever, but let's say it was, you know, Howie Roseman or a member of the scouting staff didn't believe in Jalen Hurts, right? But Lurie is saying, this is my guy. Well, getting it out there that Lurie is now essentially the reason Hurts is a starter benefits anybody that did not want Jalen to be the starter. So I think that this is one of those stories that, you know, Lurie, I'm sure, didn't want out there. The team probably didn't want out there. And it's one of those stories that if you look at it, the only people that would are people that don't believe in Jalen Hurts. Because now, if, you know, in week seven or at the end of next year, we're watching Jalen Hurts and he's not playing well, everybody knows who to point the finger at. And that appears to be Jeffrey Lurie.
Elliot Shore Parks, 94 WIP, the Go Birds podcast, joining us here as we get set for what should be a very interesting next 5 or 6 days. So the new league year, Elliot, starts about a week from now. We know everything starts on Monday. You're going to be at the free agency desk all day Monday. Is that what I hear?
Absolutely. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And I was thinking, you know, Joe, I haven't seen you in over a year. I haven't seen Tucker in over a year. I haven't seen any of you guys. So I'm excited to you know, safely, of course, get back in the studio and talk some Eagles football with you guys.
Yeah, I can't wait. And we were supposed to all see each other together doing Birdstown Hall last year right around this time. And obviously we couldn't do that. So we're doing it here safely in our studios with all our different, you know, places we could go on this floor. So we're going to be doing this Monday. Elliot, what do you expect between the Eagles, between now and them? And we know they have to get under the cap. An Ertz trade. Brandon Brooks was rumored. Obviously there are moves to be made, but also, do you think they'll be active once Howie does get under the cap, however he does it?
Mm-hmm. Well, with Zach Ertz, that's an interesting decision they have to make, because if they want to trade Zach Ertz, they have to carry him into the new league year, which means they then don't get that salary cap relief that they would if they cut him. And they get the same relief cutting him as they do trading him. So the only way you trade him is if you get an asset good enough back that it's worth carrying him into the new league year and restructuring some of the other deals that you might not otherwise. So how they handle Zach Ertz is going to be very fascinating to watch. I don't think they're going to trade Brandon Brooks before the start of the new league year. There's no cap benefit to it. So I think if Brooks gets moved, it won't be until after June 1st, when they could then save a substantial amount of money. As for the beginning of the new league year and how active they'll be, I think they will be active. I know people will point to the fact, oh, well, they don't have any salary cap space. Well, last year they signed Javon Hargrave to a 3-year, $39 million deal, and his first year cap hit was $3.5 million. So if you have even any salary cap space, you have $2, $3 million, you can backload these deals and get the elite talent that you want. So, you know, they'll say they're not going to be active, and I think they're trying to lower expectations. But we know that Howie Roseman likes to be active. I know they want to win, that they've shown that with their moves. So I do think that they'll be trying to sign players. Whether they'll do it, I don't know, but I think they're going to try.
It's going to be fun. It always is with the Eagles. Elliot, thank you for hopping on, and I'll see you for the first time in a year Monday.
Can't wait. Talk to you guys soon.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks. He will be with us for 12 straight hours on the free agency desk. Yes, Monday is Birds Town Hall. It's one of my favorite days of the year here at WIP, where we talk, and I know you're probably laughing in the car as you drive, like, well, you guys talk Eagles every day. Well, yeah, we do. We do talk Eagles every day, but it's different on Birds Town Hall Day because we're all on each other's shows. I'm going to be on during the midday show, during the afternoon show, before doing the show here at night. So we got a lot that we will talk about on Monday, and every single Birds topic under the sun. As the news comes down, we will discuss, and Elliot will be at that free agency desk. 215-592.
Did he discuss if he was going to build the free agency desk?
He didn't. I forgot to ask him that. I mean, I would think, Tucker, not to burst your bubble, but we have a lot of studio space here.
I just want Elliot to show up at 6 a.m.
I know.
With a drill, and there's a box from IKEA, and they say, good luck.
All right, how about this? So let's cross our fingers and say that by next year, next March, Birds Town Hall 2022, I think we can all gather again, maybe in a bar or restaurant somewhere that will have us. And I think then you should suggest that Elliot does this. It gives him a full year to work on his craftsmanship. Okay? Do you think off top of your head, just gut feeling, is Elliot a craftsman?
Does Elliot own a power tool?
He has a home. I feel like if I have a power tool. I'm not a, like, I
one?
I, uh Yeah, I think we have one power drill. No, actually, I mean, I think we might have a saw. I mean, let me be quite clear. My wife does most of this stuff. My dad helps when we have stuff around the house. I am not a very handy person. But if you have a house, you have these things. Anyway, Elliot's not building a desk on Monday. He's hanging out all day talking Eagles and free agency. 215-592-9494. All right, on the other side, back to all your phone calls. We got a lot to get into over the course of the show. Mock Draft Mania, Ricky Ricardo later on with a Clearwater check-in. You'll hear from Bryce Harper. We got to touch on a whole bunch of things, but we keep going with this conversation because I need your opinion on it. Do you believe the teams in town, owners, GMs, should take our opinion and make decisions off what the fans want? I think it is absurd. Tucker somehow thinks it's a good idea. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Sports Radio 94 WIP. 819 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a little bit here, we have Mock Draft Mania, and we'll check in with our buddy Ricky Ricardo for a Clearwater check-in in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll also bring you some of what Bryce Harper had to say with Angelo this morning, next hour as well. This morning was a great Phillies day on WIP. It was like spring training day when the morning show's down there, except they were here this year, but we had Joe Girardi on. He talked up Mickey Moniak, Bryce Harper on. He talked up everything from his love of the fans at Philadelphia, keeping him accountable, to even old school versus new school baseball, and even Archie Bradley, who will play something later that he said that is going to get people fired up. So a great day of Phillies talk as we are, you know, tomorrow's 3 weeks from opening day. We're almost there, Tucker. We are almost at baseball season. The weather today made me feel like baseball. It was great.
Oh, it was beautiful outside.
Yeah, I felt like it was spring today. So we're getting there. 215-592-9494. And hopefully between now and then, the Phillies don't listen to something I say about the team and just do that because I said it, or because you said it, or because Tucker said it. Because teams here should not be making decisions based off what we want. Here's one for you, and I think this one is a unique one. But I think if you were to poll the majority of fans in Philadelphia, the majority would not want Odubel Herrera to be the Philly center fielder this year. I feel pretty strongly saying that the majority of people would say no to Odubel. Should the Phillies not take Odubel because we don't want him? I don't think so. They need to make a first of all, a decision based on the morals of their franchise. And if they decide a second chance is the way they want to go, then that's the way they want to go. If they want to decide zero tolerance, well, he wouldn't be at camp. And if they think he's the best player, then and they've decided to give him a second chance, then he's got to be the guy. Even if I don't want him, and I'd rather not have him. If Tucker doesn't want him, if you don't want him. Like, all of these big picture stuff, these big decisions, these teams should not be listening to us. Tucker thinks they should. I think this is nonsense. 215-592-9494. Back to the phone lines. Kashmir in Pottstown is up. What's up, Kashmir?
What's going on, Joe? So, yeah, I really needed to get onto this discussion. I had to. I had to get on this discussion about with WIP, and let me give you a couple of examples. Not just the Twitter poll with Todd Zielecki when Bryce Harper signed here. How about 1999 NFL draft? How about this one? We should not be dictating decisions. Owners John Middleton, Jeffrey Lurie, Josh Harris. Any sports owner or any sports GM should not be listening to fans, because if you do, and like you said before, if you listen to the fans, you'll soon be sitting with them. That's
well, for
one.
Sure. And you go back, and I know the draft you're talking about, Donovan, Ricky yep. Williams. This town wanted yes. Ricky Williams.
Everyone wanted Ricky Williams. Can you imagine, Joe, if they actually listened to the fans and drafted Ricky Williams, what kind of shape the franchise would have been in?
Well, I mean, that's why, you know, it's important having someone in the building that has a strong voice and blocks out nonsense. And I believe for a long time that was Andy Reid. Like, Andy Reid, you know, he knew the fans wanted him to run the ball more. He probably heard the Ricky Williams stuff, but Andy yep. Reid doesn't care. And guess what Andy Reid does? He wins.
Yep. Well, let me give you one more story. It's about it. Couple seconds long. Let me give you one more story, right? So I'm sure everyone remembers, and you, I'm sure you know, like Joe, as you probably know, a famous old school radio sports radio caster, Chris Mad Dog Russo.
Oh, of course, yeah, the Mad Dog.
Yep. So so Chris Mad Dog Russo. I was actually listening to his show, and he actually had, believe it or not, it was actually after the Phillies, actually the same day the Phillies had signed Bryce Harper. I think it was the next day. He was on, I think he was on High Heat.
Yep.
the show was on MLB Network, and he was actually interviewing with Dan Plesac or Harry Reynolds and a couple other guys, and they were asking him, like, okay, well, what finally took so long? The Phillies, what finally really made the Phillies make the decision? And Chris Mad Dog Russo made a very solid point. I couldn't believe it, and this will take you back. Chris Mad Dog Russo said, well, for he goes, according to what I'm hearing, he goes, according to my sources, this is Chris Mad Dog Russo, says, John Middleton and the Phillies organization was listening to the radio for weeks on end. They were hearing what was being said on WIP for weeks about, and this is after, because if you remember, Machado signed first before Bryce Harper.
Yeah, he did, about 2 weeks before, yep.
Yep, so those 2 weeks beforehand, the crowd, and here's the thing, the fans and you and Angelo and all you guys on WIP were all saying, listen, hey, go get Bryce Harper. Get it done. You have to do it. You're waiting too long. What are you doing? You have to do it. And if you remember correctly, Matt Klentak also said a little bit after that, well, we need some, we can't let it exceed our evaluation.
Yes, the Machado. Yeah, said, that, yep. That was his comment on the Machado. The player exceeded our evaluation. Yep.
Yep. So then John Middleton, so I think it was actually after that, a lot of the fans and a lot of people on WIP were really like clamoring, hey, do not mess this up.
Yeah.
You have to go sign this guy. You cannot do this to us.
And they did it. Yeah, and they, you know what? Yep. They heard it, and they did it. And Cashmere, listen, man, I appreciate the phone call, and I appreciate your story. And I kind of remember that with Mad Dog saying that. And the bottom line is, like, all right, listen, I'm going to give an example, and I'll use this as a parent. You know, my six-year-old can say, I think we should do this, I think we should do that. You know, and once in a while, he's got a brilliant idea, a great idea. Yeah, we'll cook that for dinner. Sure, let's order from there. And everyone's happy. He's also six. And if we do everything based on his decisions, or most things, the house is going to be turned upside down. Like, he wants to play Legos and watch, you know, watch TV all day. He's six. Like, we don't do everything that he thinks, because otherwise the house would be in disarray. The same thing would happen here. You know, you can believe to this day that Bryce is the better player than Machado. I think they're very close. Machado's a better defender. Bryce is a better offensive player, whatever. So you know what? If you want to say, Joe, we were right, Bryce is better. You know, Bryce hits more. Bryce is a better offensive player. Great. My six-year-old's right sometimes, Tucker. I don't listen to him on everything he says. That's not how it works.
No, but does your six-year-old pay your paycheck? Do you rely on your six-year-old for your income? Because last I checked, it's more than just that. Like, Jeff Lurie isn't here taking care of us. Jeff Lurie is providing a product. Jeff Lurie is providing a service for this city and for this fan base. And quite honestly, when your livelihood relies on the hard-earned cash of the people of this city, like, they should feel validated every once in a while. And I agree, like, you shouldn't do everything they want. Like John Middleton, I get it. Sometimes fans should be a potted plant over there in the corner. Right, like I don't necessarily need callers and you know or us making decisions on who should be in the back end of the bullpen or who should be the $500,000 reliever. Wait, that they signed in the middle of August.
So you're saying my twice monthly roster projections should not matter? They shouldn't be basing the last guy on the roster off of me?
They might.
They shouldn't. Also, let me throw this in there. Here's why part of this makes me uncomfortable. You know what I don't like, Tucker? I don't like the responsibility of this. I don't like that maybe anything I say matters. This is all just supposed to be fun and games. And for you and for me and for everyone, like, we're all just having fun giving sports opinions. If these teams are listening to us and taking our opinions, you know what I thought of? And if anyone out there listening right now is active or just uses, I don't know if he was on other accounts or he or she, or maybe it was a bot. I don't know. What gender do you assign to a bot? How do I talk about a bot account that I think was named Victor?
I mean, if it's a bot, it's just it, right?
All right,
it's just
it,
there.
It, okay.
Those bots.
Do you remember the account I'm talking about? There was a guy, it was a running joke. I think this is what our last caller was talking about, who would tweet from a million different accounts. I guess they are bots. They're not real. It wasn't an actual one person behind it. But the same stat, right?
The Nick Foles versus Carson Wentz stat? About how Carson Wentz is like 2-7 in his last 9 starts?
Maybe it was like 7-20, most fumbles. You remember that thing?
I do remember that. That was a very common thing.
It was everywhere. And that guy, or that it, right, the it, this is a weird conversation, that thing, that bot, would post on anything. Like, it'd be a Bleacher Reporter, you know, ESPN post about, you know, Kawhi Leonard. And you'd scroll down with dumb comments people are saying, and it'd be like, oh, Carson Wentz is 7-20 against season winning records. It was the same thing over and over. I think that's what we're talking about, or at least our caller was. Anyway, this is why teams shouldn't listen to fans. There's bots, Tucker. We can't have this. We can't.
I mean, I don't even know how to respond to that.
Well, I mean, this is what the guy does for a living.
I mean, do we text Elliot and tell him to protect his tweets? Like, what's going on?
Well, if he protects his tweets, they can't, you know, he can't get his reach out there. If Elliot protected his tweets, people wouldn't know that he thinks he could hit a home run in a major league game. He can't protect his.
I mean, he couldn't hit a fair ball against Jack Fritz.
Yeah, that's its own problem. 215-592-9494. All right, we will continue our conversation, but quickly, you know what we do every night at 8:30? We do something called Mock Draft Mania, where we scrounge up a new mock draft somewhere on the internet, and we talk about it, and we react to it as if it's real life. So tonight, we go to CBS Sports. I feel like CBS Sports is running solely on mock drafts these days. Do they do any other content? Not sure about that. But tonight we talk about this one. Pete Prisco, actually one of the, I'd say, more well-known and significant analysts or takesmen or whatever you call them, mock drafters over at CBS. He's got opinions on a lot of things. Good football guy. Here is Pete Prisco's latest mock draft. We start with number one. And I haven't seen – I'm waiting for the first time we don't see Trevor Lawrence at one. I don't know. Will we get one of them?
I don't know. I don't know if there's anybody who thinks Fields is better than Lawrence that isn't in this studio currently. But I don't think anyone would put Fields ahead of Lawrence.
We need your mock draft. Mock draft maybe at Tucker's.
If I'm predicting what's going to happen, like Trevor Lawrence, unless something horrific happens, he will be the number one.
Well, I agree. You know what someone has to do at some point? Someone has to create a mock draft like the non-cowards mock draft, like how it should go. Or like, you know, like one of those where you play it out, like who the best players would be, something like that.
Well, like if Daniel Jeremiah told us a couple days ago that Kyle Pitts is the most likely to be a Hall of Famer, why isn't he going number one?
Well, if he's the most likely to be a Hall of Famer, yeah. I mean, but I guess the position value. Anyway, here is Pete Prisco's mock draft. Number one overall, Trevor Lawrence, quarterback out of Clemson to Jacksonville. Number two, we have ourselves a wrinkle. Pete Prisco has the Carolina Panthers trading up to number two with the Jets and taking Zach Wilson, the quarterback out of BYU. So the Panthers get themselves Zach Wilson. Number three, the Miami Dolphins select Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver, LSU. Number four, my heart would sink, the Atlanta Falcons select Kyle Pitts, tight end out of Florida. Number five, the Cincinnati Bengals select Penei Sewell, the offensive lineman out of Oregon. Leaving the Philadelphia Eagles on the board with two real quarterbacks, Trey Lance and Justin Fields on the board. And another good receiver in Devonta Smith. Guess what? Pete Prisco has them taking none of those players. Because in Pete Prisco's mock draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select, first one I've seen with this, with at number six, not trading down, Jalen Waddle, wide receiver, Alabama. The kid a couple nights ago that on the Adam Schefter podcast, Jalen Hurts said, is going to be the best player in college that he played with in the NFL. That's Jalen's guy. Jalen.
I mean, Jalen Waddle, Jalen Smith, Jalen Reagor. Let's just get it done.
Could we handle that as a fan base if Jalen, the quarterback, is throwing to Jalen, the receiver, and Jalen, the receiver? That's a lot of Jalen's.
That's a lot going around. I mean, I told you last night, I think Jalen Waddle probably is a better prospect than Devontae Smith. Jalen Waddle, when they were both healthy, was the primary target in that offense. Devontae Smith was a bit of an afterthought until Jalen Waddle got hurt. I find it interesting, and when these mock drafts have Fields falling so far, where there's only two quarterbacks off the board by the time the Eagles get there, it's kind of a test for Howie Roseman, right? For a team that calls themselves a quarterback factory, for a guy who you know, craves and values high-value quarterback prospects. Like, if Fields is there, even if they aren't thinking quarterback, what goes through his mind? If one of those three guys fall, like, I think Trey Lance is in a class below Lawrence, Fields, and Wilson, right? Like, if Fields or Wilson free falls to number six and the Eagles are on the board with him available, I mean, I just feel like Howie Roseman has to make that move.
Well, it will test two things. One, how much they truly believe Jalen Hurts is going to be something unique. Not just okay, but unique. Because if they think that, then they don't have to take a quarterback. And it's also going to test the value. Like, in that case, Tucker, they better not pick at six. If they don't want to take a quarterback, they should trade down. They should leverage the value of quarterback because someone's going to want Justin Fields if he's sitting there. Trade down and take a first-round pick from someone for next year. 215-592-9494. That has been Mock Draft Mania for tonight. We'll come back. Your phone calls. Should these teams listen to us when it comes to big decisions? I don't think so. Tucker thinks it's fine. It's a business. I think this is nonsense. They shouldn't listen to anything we have to say. And when we get back, I want you to hear from Jason Kelsey. I heard him on a podcast with Dave Spadaro. He said a couple interesting things. One, about his impending retirement. It doesn't sound like Jason Kelsey's actually close to retirement. And does he think this offensive line is in as bad a shape as we do? I don't think he does. You'll hear it coming up next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.